Hello and welcome to the HMBB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HMB Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. This episode is made possible thanks to the generous sponsorship of Brightree. Brightree is an award-winning healthcare IT company that provides cloud-based software solutions designed to optimize business performance and improve patient outcomes for out-of-hospital care organizations. Delivering world-class innovations to HME, pharmacy, and home infusion providers, Brightree's industry-leading platform technology offers a complete end-to-end solution for connected care. You can find out more about them at brightree.com. Providers are facing staffing challenges that are impacting both their top and bottom lines. It's certainly a widespread issue that everybody's facing, but there are outsourcing and staffing solutions that can help them. That said, the key is to do it right, and that means measurement and analytics. How can providers, many of whom are small to medium-sized businesses, implement a lasting fix to what looks to be a long-term challenge? Well, here today to talk about this topic is returning HMEB podcast guest, Sunil Krishnan. Sunil is the Vice President of Revenue Cycle Management at Brightree. Sunil, great to have you back on the podcast.
Thank you, David, for having me. Glad to be here.
Well, it's great to have you, and let's dive in. I think maybe the best thing we can do is do a bit of a level set. What are some of the primary staffing challenges that HME providers are currently facing?
David, this is a very timely conversation. The jobs report that just came out January 2023 showed that the non-farm payroll grew by over 500,000.
Yeah.
When the economists were expecting around 200,000. So more than double, right? And all this is happening during the lowest unemployment rate in the past 50 years.
Yeah.
Just imagine that. And we keep hearing from providers that it has become very difficult to find good talent. And even when you do find good talent, retaining them can be a challenge. So with the lowest unemployment rate out there and fewer talent to hire, providers are just struggling to staff appropriately to run their businesses effectively. Forget efficiently, just effectively.
Yeah, just get it done.
Just get it done.
So we've got this sort of historic staffing challenge. How is that impacting providers' revenue cycle management?
Yeah, so as a result of this massive disruption to regular operations, providers have started to see an impact to their cash flow. I mean, their number one focus is their cash flow, right? And they're starting to see an impact to that. So think about it. When you hire new resources to manage all this attrition that's happening, The new employees might not be able to immediately produce the same throughput of work. Yeah, and then talk about the quality of that work, right? You have to significantly increase the QA on the work that they need to do. And how long would you have to do that? I mean, training can take 3 months, 6 months. And through this phase, it can lead to issues like a backlog of tasks, increase in denials, reduction in cash flow that we just talked about, an increase in expenses, and just that added burden on the other colleagues and management. And now, what if the employee you just hired leaves? What a problem.
You tear your hair out.
Yeah. Or the other way to look at it is, what if another experienced resource leaves? I mean, it's just a vicious cycle. And David, while all this is happening on the provider side, there's another dynamic that's in play. Payers are experiencing this exact same labor shortage, which is resulting in much longer processing times for claims and call hold times when these billers are trying to contact these payers. So, of course, this increase in the volume of outreach to payers leads to the provider needing additional resources, which, depending on the geography that you operate in, may have very limited access to good talent for the extremely specialized DME billing with the ever-changing rules and regulations on how claims get paid. And the fact that payers cannot process claims in a timely manner further impacts the provider's cash flow.
Man, and I just I look at this and I just picture a spike in claims denials.
Right. There's a spike in claims denials, and just the fact that there's that backlog that just keeps increasing with these payers. And so now what normally you would have expected, hey, claims get paid in 15 days, 30 days, maybe 40 days, is now sometimes taking 60 days or greater before they get paid.
Wow. Okay, but you guys are offering solutions to that. Maybe you can give us a quick description of what that is.
Sure. So Brightree RCM is a division within Brightree. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we take that intake and billing functions off the provider's plate so that the provider can focus on what's truly important, which is taking care of the patients and growing their business. So for intake, I mean, let me just expand on what I mean by intake and billing, right?
Okay.
So for intake, Brightree RCM processes at a high level. They'll include managing the faxes and order entry, verifying patient insurance and benefits, managing PARs and CMNs, reviewing medical documentation, and then flipping that order to the Brightree RCM billing team. Mm-hmm. And so then when we talk about what the billing functions are that Brightree RCM can process, they include reviewing and confirming sales orders, managing e-claim rejections, resolving denials and resubmitting claims, adjusting and posting claims within the Brightree system. And along with these processes, we also do a couple of important functions for our providers. And they include monitoring key performance indicators both internally and with the provider, and then maximizing efficiencies through best practices.
It sounds like that whole kind of workflow is getting offloaded. Is that like a quick way to describe it shortly?
Right, exactly. So there's this, headcount intensive operation. We are sort of taking it off the plate of that provider and we are doing it for them.
So what's the, what are kind of the key advantages of this approach?
So by partnering with Brightree RCM, providers now have that expertise and stability that they need so that they can focus on, like I mentioned before, taking care of that patient mm-hmm. and growing their business. So let me, quickly list some benefits and then I'll expand on it.
Okay.
So at a high level, benefits can include, access to resources that are well-versed in intake, billing, and collections. Mm-hmm. Able to tap into the scale as the business expands. They can benefit from process improvements through best practices because we are providing service across multiple providers. There's probably a lot of situations we've run into that we now have expertise that someone else, right? And then finally, I would also say access to consistent informational reporting. So that's just at the high level. Okay. So David, let me just expand, right? And I'll try and keep it to five different areas. So the first one I would call out is providers now can focus on their core competency.
Yeah.
And so what I mean by that is, by co-sourcing with us, they can now zero in on taking care of that patient and growing their business because they no longer have to worry about issues like, do I have the right number of employees or do I have the right level of expertise to do this work? And all those other things we had discussed earlier. So now as your business grows, we provide that additional talent that you need rather than you having to go find it yourself. Right. So that is the focusing on their core competency.
Correct.
The second I would say is your intake and billing department now becomes a variable expense. So as your volume fluctuates on a month-to-month basis, we will scale up or down to meet that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which becomes an advantage in terms of savings because you're no longer having to hire and fire people to mimic the same model.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And that, yeah, that could be really important if you're, you know, like exploring a new service category or something like that. And so you might have a spike in claims for a little bit, but then it might peter out because it turns out that it's not a very good business to pursue or whatever.
Right, right. Yeah. And so as a good co-sourcing partner, we will deploy that right number of resources for that volume of work. So providers don't have to worry about, you know, tasks and backlog increasing. And this is also applicable when you do acquisitions, right? So when you do an acquisition and you need experienced resources to work on that new business, you know, we have resources ready to go.
Got it. So what else?
So a third one I would say is reduction in overhead expenses. And so when you're core sourcing with us, you don't have to take on those additional overhead, right? So for example, hiring more supervisors and leads as you grow your business, all that additional floor space, other expenses like computers, phone lines, furniture, all these additional expenses are not needed as you have to grow your business. We absorb all those expenses. A fourth one is something what you had just touched on, David. You know, you talked about, hey, what if you went into additional product lines, now that expertise, right? So a fourth one I would say is access to that expertise across product lines. So when a provider decides to service new product lines, like you mentioned, we will provide the billing expertise to support it, right? That includes understanding how to bill those product lines based on specific payer requirements and also the different payer mix. And David, how beneficial is that? The ability to tap into that expertise is a massive advantage because now you don't have to worry about billing this new product line. And instead, you can focus on expanding into this new product line that you're venturing into.
Yeah, you guys have that kind of that institutional expertise so that, you know, for instance, if somebody's reviewing claims documentation or something like that, they know exactly what to look for and how it should be formatted.
Correct. And number five, and this is the final point that I'll make, is what I would say business insight. And I'm going to really emphasize on this one, insight into your business, right? So beyond resources, what we bring to the table as your partner is access to excellent informational reporting and analytics to help you monitor your business. We then establish educated goals based on where you are today and where you want to get to, and then regularly discuss progress as well as minimize any gaps to achieving them. So I would say that this is one of the most important gains for providers because you're basically getting access to an analyst on your team who is looking out for your best interest and giving you operational and financial insights into your business on what needs to improve, where the challenges are, and, you know, what might be, where there might be bottlenecks and so on.
Okay, so that's an interesting point, Sunil. I know you're a numbers guy. So looking at that analysis, what are some of the metrics that an HME provider can track and measure to see how they're performing, you know, operationally and financially in respect to their RCM? And then, you know, how does that map to the solution that you guys are offering?
Yeah, well, great question, David. And I do love my numbers, yes. So David, there are a number of metrics or KPIs that we track in this industry, right? It's very common. So I'll mention a few and then I'll call out one specific metric that I love to track across all my providers. So for a few quick mentions, everyone should be looking at their payment ratio versus the net revenue collection ratio. It's super important to differentiate between the two. And David, I feel like we've done a podcast maybe 3 years back that we specifically talked about this.
We certainly have.
Yeah. So payment ratio versus net revenue collection ratio. Payment ratio is just payment over the allowed amount, while net revenue collection ratio is you're reducing that allow amount. So you reduce it by your, you know, what they call adjust allowables, because it's a function of your price tables not being correct or not having a price table per se. And then reducing it by your credit adjustments, because, you know, those are offsets, refunds, billing errors, so on and so forth. So allow amount you should not have at, so you should remove that. And then if you're looking at it from a payer perspective, you also need to reduce the balance transfer. So you're reducing that allow amount and saying, hey, for the rest of it, I should be able to collect. And so that's your net revenue number. And so when you take the payment over your net revenue, you get your net revenue collection ratio. So it's always good to look at it, payment ratio versus net revenue collection ratio.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Another few that I'll call out is, you know, everyone tracks denial ratio, and usually the way they track denial ratios is by the count. But what I would say is, yes, track it from a count perspective of denials, but then also look at it from a dollar perspective, because sometimes what you'll notice is when you only look at it from a count perspective, it might be an item that is really small dollars. While if you look at it from a dollar perspective, just a few denials at higher dollars is a big impact, potential impact to your cash flow. So yes, everyone tries to look at denial ratio from a count perspective, but I would say look at it from both a count perspective and a dollar perspective. The other thing that is also a good metric to look at is the write-off ratio and credit adjustment ratio. And for that, I mean, they're straightforward, right? So write-off ratio is just write-offs over your allow. Credit adjustment ratio is credit adjustment over the allow. But again, for those ratios to be correct and useful, you have to make sure you categorize your write-offs and credit adjustments correctly. So then you can really try to improve on the cause for the write-offs or the credits, credit adjustment, right? Because if you put garbage in, there's the adage, garbage in, garbage out, right?
Yep,
so if you don't categorize these properly, you're not going to get much insight from these as well.
Got it.
And then another couple of quick mentions is look at the aging over 90 days, both from an held AR perspective and from an open AR perspective. Monitor your DSO, right?
Now, you can't get away from that one.
You can't. You have to cover those. But then the one that I really wanted to call out is what I call the 90-day rule. And so what is the 90-day rule?
Yeah.
The main reason you want to track a 90-day roll is to make sure you're sending clean claims out the door the first time. And in the event you do get a denial, you're able to resolve that denial and get paid fast. So it's about clean claims out the door and getting payments fast, right? And resolving all of those denials in a timely manner. So let me expand on this 90-day roll. To track this, you divide the open AR in your 90 to 120 day bucket with the AR in your 0 to 30 bucket from 3 months prior. So let me give an example, right? I think it'll be a lot easier with an example.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you have $1 million in your 0 to 30 bucket in September. 3 months later, you now have $100,000 in your 90 to 120 bucket, right? So it was $1 million. 3 months later, it's $100,000. This means 10% of your open AR rolled into your 90 bucket, right? And the good thing is $900,000 has been resolved, but there's still $100,000 that rolled over. So 10% rolled into your 90 bucket. So I call that the 90-day roll. Really the goal there is to try and keep bringing that percent lower, because as you bring that number down, that means there's less falling into the 90 bucket, which means you're getting paid faster. And if you get a denial, you're trying to resolve it as soon as you can. And so to do this, you not only need the right number of staff, resources to do it, but you also have to have good qualified resources to do it so that they can resolve that claim that denial the first time around.
I'm glad you said that because, you know, I'm looking at all those metrics that you just mentioned. Some of them that not everybody in the audience might be familiar with because they really are kind of nuanced. But at the same time, when you take those key, you know, metrics and then, you know, relate it to RCM and you put it back in the context of that staffing challenge that HME providers are facing, you know, you really can see that this is, you know, a pressing issue, not just because, oh, I need bodies, but because you need expert bodies. And this is a, you know, this is an issue that providers are going to have to deal with for a while. You know, I think that we first started talking about staffing issues when COVID began. And I, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Sunil, but I don't see an end in sight. I think this might be the new abnormal.
True, David. So if you think about this, you know, all this started roughly 2.5 years back when COVID happened. And HME providers just experienced a significant change in the labor market, yeah. Right? When COVID hit, there was this mad scramble for businesses to figure out how to operate daily, yeah. As their billers and entire staff were moving to a model of working from home. And during that time, something else was happening. Employees were leaving to pursue other opportunities within the industry, some jumping into other areas of healthcare, and then others to entirely different industries.
Yeah, we lost a ton of talent. We lost a ton of that institutional / tribal knowledge industry-wide.
Correct, yeah. So the industry had fewer resources that were available that providers could tap into. And on top of that, David, there were also employees who chose to retire early, right? And mm-hmm. And these were generally employees with the highest level of expertise and institutional knowledge within the organization. So this was a massive, massive impact for providers. And we haven't seen any of these challenges really subside, right? Like you mentioned, David, this is ongoing.
Okay, so let's get back to the solutions. Okay, so this is fascinating stuff. This is, you know, you've got a scalable turnkey solution with a ton of expertise, and you've got, you know, all these metrics and data points that you can report on. How does a provider implement this? How do they pursue working with Brightree RCM?
Yeah. So when we, you know, providers connect with us or we reach out to prospects for them to utilize Brightree RCM, we look at their business and then we look at what would work right for their business, right? Because not every business is the same. You know, your payer mix is different, your product mix is different. Depending on the geography that you operate, you know, you have certain challenges associated with that geography. So we look at providers, we then look at their data and then give them into insights on, hey, here, if you were to come on with us, here are some of the benefits you could experience. And then we look at how their business functions today, and then we recommend the right implementation process for that. So we have sessions with them prior to go live. We will have sessions with them where we talk about, hey, what is operations going to look like on a daily basis between the two organizations, right? What does that handshake have to look like on a regular basis for us to be successful, for this partnership to be successful? So we walk them through all those processes before we go live. And then once we do go live, we monitor them very closely for that next 30 to 60 days, because if there are issues, we're going to start seeing them surface pretty quick. Again, everything that we do, what we're trying to minimize is impact to their cash flow, right? Because we can have discussions all day long and, you know, do all the training material and say, this is what a day-to-day functioning between two organizations look like, but some things can still slip. Mm-hmm. So we'll monitor that on a constant basis. We'll have a resource that is a central point of contact with that provider. So it's not like they're having to reach to multiple departments trying to figure out what's going on. They're hearing from one voice, and then we will bring in experts as and when needed if additional clarification is needed. So that's how we work with these providers as we get them implemented. And David, just to give you a bit of an idea, I mean, we have over 900 power users in the Brightree system today, right?
Oh, wow.
So we have a lot of resources ready to go, and, you know, we have a buffer in place. And so we never have a situation, hey, oh, we're signing a new customer on, let's go find talent. No, we already have the talent, right? It's a constant cycle of talent coming in through the door. And so we already have resources in place that when a provider decides they want to work with us, we can usually get them set up within within 3 weeks or so.
Okay. All right. Well, staffing is obviously a challenge, but it sounds to me like with the right solutions, there might actually be a strategic advantage here.
Yes. So I put that emphasis on business insights right mm-hmm. earlier in the podcast. I mean, it was for a reason. Imagine someone looking at your numbers and data holistically and deciphering the reporting and analytics for you. So providing insights into your specific business and identifying opportunities is a huge, huge benefit of this engagement. And all this, while we are able to then give feedback to our resources that are working in your Brightree instance, right? And like I mentioned, we have over 900 power users in Brightree, and we only work in the Brightree system. So the provider is just massively benefiting from the expertise that we bring to the table.
Okay. All right. Sunil, if listeners want to find out more, how do they reach you guys?
That's a great question, David. So it is brightree.com/RCM. It'll take you to the page. There's a lot of information out there. You'll be able to contact us. And again, that is brightree.com/RCM.
All right. Terrific. Thanks again for joining us, Sunil.
All right. Thank you, David. Nice talking to you.
Oh, yeah. Pleasure's all mine. Thanks again to Sunil of Brightree for being on the podcast. Again, if you want to find out more, visit brightree.com/RCM. Again, that's brightree.com/RCM. And, Sunil mentioned an episode. He said that we may have talked about this earlier when he was talking about RCM analytics. And yes, indeed, we did. That was episode 14. And Sunil was on there with Fadi Haddad. So we've got some great content there if you want to check that one out. Okay, before I sign off, if you like today's episode, please take a quick second to rate and review this episode. And if you haven't already, make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. And if you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in the industry, make sure to check out hme-business.com. Again, that's hme-business.com. And subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service. That will keep you in touch with everything we're doing, not just news in the industry, not just features that we're posting, but the podcast episodes, webinars, viewpoints, everything else. So definitely stay in touch with that. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on all the services, and I'm at Post Acute News on Twitter, and you can find me by name on LinkedIn. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me via email. I'm at DKO, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105media.com. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering important HME business topics such as RCM outsourcing and analytics. But for now, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.